Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 6 years now, we've been asking the franchise entrepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Craig Slavin, the founder of FranchiseCentralUSA.com and ConnectMe. And Craig is a 40-year franchise veteran that's been involved with all aspects of franchising industry, from concept creation and refinement to management and national and international growth. We're going to be talking to Craig about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, FranchiseInterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to FranchiseInterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 6 years now we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Craig Slavin, the founder of Franchise Central USA and ConnectMe. And Craig is a 40-year franchise veteran that's been involved with all aspects of franchising. Hey, Craig, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Marty. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Craig. It's great to finally have you on this show. We always like to ask our guests where you're calling from this morning.
I'm located in the northern suburbs of Chicago.
Oh, great. Chicago's it's a beautiful city. How's the weather there today, Craig?
Well, it's actually very nice. It's a very balmy 70 degrees in the office.
Nice. Oh, there you go. That's good. I haven't heard that one yet. I was excited to have you on the show, Craig. You know, your websites have actually been referenced on our show on several occasions in the 6 years we've actually been doing it. And you have so much experience. I hate to, I don't say make you feel old, but we've only had a handful of guests that have had, years' experience in franchising. So I thought maybe we could start off with like a little bit about your background and kind of like segue into what you're doing now in franchising.
Well, I didn't purposely go into franchising. My educational background happens to be architecture, and I always wanted to be an architect. So my model of the world has always been bottom-up, not top-down. And by accident, many years ago, I got involved with a company that wanted to, needed to, had to grow and open up multiple locations, but really didn't have the infrastructure to do so. So I applied my background and my point of reference and created the systems, created the processes, the training programs, and we ended up growing that company over a period of about a year and a half to almost 40 locations. And then one thing led to another, and I got hired by different companies. And then in the late 70s, moved into the consulting business to specifically help companies grow their businesses through franchising. And in 1980, I started my own practice called, of all things, Franchise Architects. It was actually the editor of the business section for the Dallas Morning News that came up with the name. He said, "You're still an architect. You're a franchise architect." Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I've been doing that for all these years, and we've created concepts, we've grown concepts, we've supported franchisors, franchisees. I've been a franchisor 5 times. So I've sat on every side of the conference table except one, and that is I've never been a franchisee. And that's because I'm not a good profile to be a franchisee. I would want to change the rules, not follow the rules.
That's so true. What do you like about franchising, Craig? I mean, it's something that, you know, has kept you in franchising for 40 years now. What stands out?
Well, if it's done right, it's pretty remarkable. When it's not done right, it's one of the worst horror stories you've ever seen in your lives. And when I've certainly seen a number of horror stories throughout the years. But the real core to franchising is if you have and you make the assumption that a particular company has a viable product or service, whether the maid service is reliable, the pizza is good, the burgers are fabulous, whatever it might be. And if they want to reach out to more consumers, and they want to grow, but they haven't got the money, they haven't got the people, or they may not even have the time because competition's coming in, then they turn to an alternative, and that alternative most likely is franchising.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole purpose of franchising is to create market share, to be able to provide more products, more services to the end user, to the consumer, for usage or consumption. So what it does is it really satisfies the goals of both parties, allows the company to grow, and it gives an opportunity for an individual or a group the ability to participate and leverage the resources of the franchise company.
How do you feel about all these concepts today, Craig? I mean, when you first got involved in franchising 40 years ago, you know, kind of where we are today, there's a lot more industries franchising, there's a lot more concepts franchising. It seems a bit overwhelming, I guess you can say, for the aspiring franchisee or franchisepreneur is what we call them on the show.
Yes, it is. There are more franchise companies today than ever before. I always like to reference what's called the Pareto Principle, the 80-20 rule, where 80% of the volume or activity comes from 20% of your menu items, your service items, whatever it might be. But I can honestly say that that's not true in franchising. You know, we really have more like 10 to 12, maybe 15% of all franchise companies doing the most activity. So you're right, there's a lot of companies out there that are franchising that either shouldn't be franchising, they're not prepared to franchise, they're not structured properly, but somebody's put together the proper documents so legally they can franchise.
With so many concepts, this is where your service comes in. When I was reading about your background, Craig, it sounds like you certainly discovered a need in the market. It's as you were saying earlier, it's a nightmare for the franchisor and the franchisee to both get involved with each other if it's not going to work out. So you created this interesting concept called Connect Me. It kind of segues into my next question. With so many different franchise concepts, how does somebody who's interested in getting into franchise, how do they select the right one?
Well, that's a great question. And my favorite expression is, just because somebody can afford the airplane doesn't mean they're qualified to be the pilot.
Wow, that's great. So, I'm going to have to use that on the show.
my pleasure, by all means. And what I found was that people bought franchises for the wrong reasons. And what gave me that insight was really two things. One, when I was asked to provide expert testimony, litigation support, when there's conflict, and I would listen to both parties, mm-hmm. and it's sort of like that song, everybody's right, everybody's wrong. You know, there is no right, there is no wrong, there's three
right.
sides to every story. And then what happened was, it was really a very interesting aha. Having been a franchisor, having sold franchises myself and consulted to hundreds of companies, we'd always scratch our heads and wonder after we sold a franchise, you know, is this going to be a good fit? How are
right.
we going to know if this person's a good fit for this model? And you generally don't know until after the fact. And after the fact, if it's not a good fit, it's not a good thing. So we looked at whether or not we could be predictive in the recruitment and the selection and the awarding of franchises to people, because it's sort of like walking into the vegetable section of the grocery store. You don't have just onions. You don't have just mm-hmm. potatoes. You've got a wide range, a wide variety to choose from, and the same thing is true about people and human nature. Everybody has their own value system. They have their own strengths, their own weaknesses, skills, behavior. So we looked at how can we be predictive. And I assembled in the late 80s a team of industrial, clinical, organizational, and behavioral psychologists, along with some key franchising executives. And we looked at what is it we're looking for and how can we find it and whether or not there's a tool out there that we could use to measure the skills, the values, the behavior, entrepreneurship, leadership. And the fact of the matter is, in real-life situations, we utilized some of these tools, and the tools were great tools, but they were generally designed to recruit employees and
right.
determine whether or not somebody in one cubicle is going to get along with everybody else in the 38 other cubicles surrounding them. It had very little, if any, application to managing, running, and executing a business model. So we developed our own tool, and that tool is called Franchise Navigator. It's a skills, values, and behavioral assessment tool. It takes, now that it's online, it takes approximately 8 minutes to complete. And what it does is it actually identifies the skills of the particular individual, what their value system is, because that's the basis for making decisions, what their behavior is, how they're going to function in a leadership capacity, in operational efficiencies, customer service, people development, delegation, time management. And we now have approximately 150 franchise organizations where we've gone in and we've actually benchmarked their existing franchise operators, and then these companies, using their own performance metrics, identify if they're a high performer, a mid performer, or a poor performer. We have a team of independent statisticians that then do an entire statistical analysis of the data, and from that, we're able to create a high performer profile for either single unit or multi-unit for each of these companies that indicates on a scale of 0 to 100% in four different dimensions where the high performers score, where they fall. all inbound candidates, new candidates, are given the same assessment tool, and within 2 seconds, an email is sent to the franchisor that graphically, in color, and through a chart, identifies the individual, how they compare to the high performer profile, and whether or not they're a strong candidate, an acceptable candidate, or a poor candidate for that particular franchise. So it goes beyond criteria of money, location, and industry preference, and it actually goes into, can this person execute the business model, be the extension of the brand in that particular market, and is a good fit? Well, Marty,
a lot of work has gone into this.
Oh, a lot of work, a lot of time, and a lot of money. Yes. We're getting ready to launch version 8, which we're going to release at the IFA convention coming up in a month. And it's going to give us even greater detail and insights into an individual on a predictive basis. We even know how these profiles respond, how individuals respond during various stages of the process of becoming, and then once they are a franchisee, so that we can train the franchisors that it's not about the products. It's not about the locations.
Uh-huh.
It's about the people. The strength of market share comes from not how good the product is, but how strong the people are who are delivering it. So what happened with ConnectMe was we realized we have information that nobody else on the planet does. We know who these companies are looking for. We know the geographic area. We know the liquid capital requirements. So we reversed the process, and we created ConnectMe, which is sort of like the Match.com, the eHarmony mm-hmm. of buying a franchise. We offer it for free. People can take the survey, and within a matter of seconds, they can see their profile. They can download their own personal profile report, and they can identify very quickly and see what companies they match up to, what profiles their profile resembles. And it's only compared to the high performers of each of these brands.
Wow, this is truly, I mean, it truly is a win-win situation, isn't it, Craig? I mean, again, you know, it was interesting when you were telling the story from the franchisor perspective that you sell a franchise. And there must be, and again, I've never done this before, but I can imagine there must be this tremendous pressure or hope, anyway, that the franchisee does perform and that they are a match for the company. Because if they're not, I guess, and you know this better than I do, it could be a nightmare for the franchisor, can it?
It is a nightmare. And the mistake that a lot of companies make is they take a one-size-fits-all approach to growing their business. So they'll treat one particular profile the same way that they'll treat another profile, the same way they'll treat another profile, without realizing that what they're doing is they're creating a disconnect. Because if they're talking to somebody who's a very high, what we call, associator, that person's going to buy the franchise because of safety, security, because they want to become part of a family, and they need to be trained and developed and communicated in that way because that's their value system. Another profile, a high influencer, is going to buy a franchise for the prestige, for the bragging rights, mm-hmm. so that they can spread their peacock feathers and say, look at what I'm doing. Well, if you talk to that person about safety and security, there's a disconnect. And if you talk to the high associator about income and prestige, there's a disconnect. So what happens is that the companies, if they use the navigator, if they use the assessment tool, have the ability to modify and adapt their tools, their training programs, their communication programs to the needs and the desires of the individual, as opposed to force feeding one process to them all, because it doesn't work.
You have to write a book on this topic, Craig. With all your years of experience, I would be very interested in reading, you know, all the different stories and experiences that you've had. I guess it would be a 1,200-page book, but I think that would be fascinating. So I'm waiting for you to write a book. I think that might be your next your next project.
But thank you very much.
What are the beginning steps? I mean, so for our listeners, Craig, what happens? Do they typically start off on FranchiseCentralUSA.com? Is that where you typically direct people first, and then they because there's a lot of different services on FranchiseCentralUSA.com.
Correct. Actually, the website for the for ConnectMe is www.FranchiseCentral-ConnectMe.com.
Okay. Good.
And right there's a link to take the survey. The survey is very simple. It's very easy. There's 54 questions, 5 multiple choice answers. And then what happens is, in an effort to communicate, because there's so much information to communicate to the individual, what happens is we looked at social media, social networking, as a way to communicate their profile and how to get connected to the franchise companies that they connect with, that they match to. So we looked at LinkedIn, we looked at Facebook. LinkedIn is not as social as we wanted it. Facebook is way too social. I mean, you have to get past somebody's posting of what their grandmother's cat did 2 days ago to
That's
get
true.
To anything of any significance. So, Marty, we created our own social networking site that is called Franchise Central.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody goes through the survey tool, they go through the ConnectMe, they're then redirected to the social networking site. They're given their username and their password. And when they go to the home page, on their home page, and it functions just like Facebook, they can see the companies that they match up to. They can click on the links, they can watch videos, they can look at pictures. There's even an instant messaging feature where they can talk to the representatives of the franchisors and really get engaged. The other feature that we have is that they'll also see other people, other members of Franchise Central that have the same profile as they do. Because we believe that people that are like-minded want to talk and want to share with other people, so they have the ability to do that as well.
That's something I've always loved about the franchise community too as well, Craig, is it seems like, you know, people are always willing to share information, it seems like, anyway. You know, I guess I'm assuming you may have had a similar experience, but, you know, the community certainly is interesting, isn't it? I mean, as big as it is, it's also small as well.
Yeah, it's still very, very small. Tight-knit.
Yeah, it's amazing, again, how, you know, often, I mean, again, your name has come up on the show, you know, your services have come up on the show from previous guests, and I don't know which ones they were, but, you know, it was one way we became familiar with your service as well, and I said, you know, to Don, I said, we have to have you on the show. So for our listeners, what exactly should someone be looking for in owning their own franchise?
Well, I think there's a couple of baseline issues that they need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
One, going back to your point, there are so many franchises out there now, and each one of them wants to grow, wants to capture market share. So it's incumbent on the CEO of the company to bring on board somebody who is experienced at selling franchises.
Right.
And I believe, first of all, franchises should not be sold. It needs to be a good fit. But that being said, it still happens. And the person that comes in as the salesperson generally is compensated with some kind of base salary and a commission,
yes.
A commission based on sales. So the first thing that somebody who's looking to buy a franchise or looking to own their own franchise, the first thing they need to realize is they're going to be sold. Somebody's going to try to sell them their particular franchise. And they really need to go past that process. And I believe that somebody in that capacity should not be called a franchise salesperson. They really should be called a franchise communications director. Because their whole point is to communicate the value proposition of that particular business, and then determine if it's a good fit. So what the individual needs to do is look beyond the initial contact point and start to look at the business. One, not from the affordability standpoint, because access to capital, as Don knows, is becoming easier. It's still difficult if you have, you know, poor credit ratings, but it's still out there. So it's not really a capital issue. It's whether or not it is a business that that particular person can execute. Do they have the right skills? If it's a sales and marketing franchise and it's B2B and you're selling people, you don't like to make cold calls and you don't like to pound the pavement, you shouldn't look at that particular franchise. And it's also not necessarily how popular the burger is or how popular the pizza or the chicken or the maid service is. It's whether or not it's a good fit for their skills, their value system, because that's the key to successful franchise ownership, is does that business fit into a particular individual's value system?
Well said. I took my wife for the first time, Craig, to the franchise show at the Jacob Javits. I've been involved in franchising now, I guess a little over 10 years, and so I finally took her to her first show, and she was amazed at all the people that were there and all the different types of opportunities. But what are your thoughts on the shows today?
Well, I think, again, it's a good first contact.
I agree.
It's a good way to be able to look at, compare, contrast, see all of the different companies that are out there.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been going to, I remember when the whole concept of the shows was first started. That goes back into the 70s.
Wow. That must have been interesting.
It was a circus. In some cases today, it's still a circus, but it's a good initial contact. But I don't believe people should buy franchises walking aimlessly up and down aisles the way that we would buy toilet paper, tissues, Twinkies, and cereal.
Right.
But it's a good way to meet some of the representatives. Understanding that they're there to sell, where the audience, the opportunity seeker, should be gathering information, should be doing their own internal research. They've got to look at themselves first and then start looking at these concepts to determine if it's a good fit.
A lot of our listeners, we've noticed, you know, and I've seen them at the shows, and we've done a couple shows too over time, Craig, is I think they sometimes fall in love with the franchise. What's your advice to someone who falls in love with a particular franchise opportunity? I mean, again, you have to have passion for the franchise, which is great, but what would you say to them? Because I think that happens a lot as well.
It does happen a lot, and it's the wrong reason. You should not fall in love with a particular product or service. You should get past the emotional part of this and move more into the cerebral, more into the intellectual process, because we're talking about making a life choice. See, I believe that the three most important decisions we make in our lives are, what am I going to do, where am I going to do it, and with whom am I going to do it with? Well, it's not about falling in love. Yeah, you can fall in love with the great taste of a donut, or you can fall in love with a burger, and you can do that, and absolutely. But when it comes to the day-to-day grinding it out, opening that business, meeting the customers, exceeding their expectations, that goes beyond love.
Well, it's well said. So what's next for you, Craig? It sounds like, I mean, you're going to be involved in franchising, I think, it's probably safe to say, the rest of your life. You've been doing it so long now. But what's next for you?
Well, our big thrust now is to really turn franchising upside down. For many, many years, it's always been about how great a particular company is, how great their products are, how great their service is, so on and so forth. So they've always pushed it down. And I've worked with a lot of big companies and where they're talking about, you know, let our big brands work for you. Well, the truth of the matter is that the costs related to disenfranchising somebody or, you know, a dispute or a disagreement, it's devastating today. And the truth is, it's not about the product anymore. It's not about the service. It's about the people. So my goal is to turn franchising upside down so that it becomes a bottom-up concept. Because if you think about it, the strength of a company, of a brand, comes from market share. The market share comes from the ability of having the right people in there to execute the business model, to open up the locations, and provide the products and services to the end user. It's not about selling franchises. It's not about opening up locations. You know, the fact of the matter is, selling a franchise to the wrong person is worse than not selling one at all. So the goal is the strength of the distribution system. Back in the late 80s, I sold Franchise Architects to one of the top public accounting firms. Mm-hmm. And what I learned when I was inside a public accounting firm is that when you talk about the value of a franchise company and you're doing the valuation, when you sign a franchise agreement, it really doesn't have a lot of value. Yes, you get the incoming fees and royalties, but it also says in the agreement you have to provide products or services in order to receive it. So from a valuation standpoint, it really doesn't have the value. The way that you value a company is market share. Market share comes from the strength of the people delivering the products or services, not from how good the products or services are.
Well, that's well said. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on all the services? You plugged a couple of the websites, Craig. Are there any numbers they should call or you'd like them to call, or should they go directly to the website? If you want to plug those, that would be great.
Well, the main website that describes all of our products and services in the franchising space is www.franchisecentralusa.com.
Okay.
And then from there, they can go to the Connect Me. If they're a franchisor, they'll have access to the Navigator website. And you asked me what's my goal. Well, we have 150 franchisors mm-hmm. that are using the Navigator.
Wow.
My goal is to make it 500 franchisors.
That's fantastic. That's great. Well, I'm glad we finally had the opportunity to have you on the show, Craig. Again, I know you. I've been following your company for a long time now, and I've been very impressed. So sorry it's taken 6 years, but I'd already like to invite you back next year as you guys continue to grow. I think you have a wonderful service, and I do agree with you. I think that this service could really turn around the whole franchising community.
I hope so.
It was great to talk.
Thank you, Marty. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. And we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear, Great Quotes in Franchising. My name is Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and over the last 6 years, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear a clip from David Ritterling of Visiting Angels, and we had David on our show quite a few years ago, and as many of you know, I usually go back and listen to the old shows and the new shows, and one of the questions that we frequently ask on the show is, what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? And David had a wonderful analogy, and it's very short, but definitely noteworthy of making the Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. So here we go. This is David Ritterling of Visiting Angels with Great Quotes in Franchising.
And so you can learn an awful lot about a caregiver when you know the right questions to ask.
The bottom line is that really gets to the core of the business, being a service business. If you have top caregivers and people who are passionate themselves, that's just going to, you know, reflect on the clients and, you know, continue growth for the company.
Well, it really does. And we've got clients now that have been with us for 6 years of our existence. And we've also have caregivers that have been with us for 6 years of our existence. And that just speaks loudly to the relationships and to the fact that we just love our caregivers, we love our care recipients, and we let them know that. And I think that's one thing, that there's not enough affirmation in the marketplace, and when we can affirm people around us, they want to be a part of that.
That's fantastic. What advice, David, would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? The majority of our listeners are aspiring entrepreneurs.
Well, I think, again, due diligence is really important, but I think it's great to understand what you're good at, what your passions are, and what drives you in a certain direction. Certainly, the profit motive is always there, but I see a lot more success with people that really believe in what they're doing. And the other part that I heard earlier I totally agree with is that when you buy a franchise, you really want to be able to get into the boat and row along with everyone else. You want to be able to stay in sync with the system. You want to be able to follow the instructions the franchisor tells you, because they're proven. And if you feel like you're a rogue operator, that you want to do things your way, you're going to sort of swim upstream a little bit. And I would really urge everyone that's looking to do this, just do what they tell you to do. You're going to be successful.
I agree. Absolutely.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again next week with another edition of Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.